Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hey, 7-5. Another Mishnah is going to go back to that previous Mishnah, which listed those 18 different ways that one could be liable for a skila, and it's going to, over the course of the next several Mishnayos, describe some of them in detail. Okay, so the first that it addresses here in this Mishnah is the Megadef. Megadef, often translated as the blasphemer. What he has done is he has essentially invoked the name of Hashem to curse Hashem. Okay? So Rashi learns, because the Pasuk says, V'nokev shem Hashem mos yumas, one who essentially, nokev means like to express a will for something bad to happen to something else, okay? Like in the Pasuk by Bilam, it says, Ma'ekov lo kabokel. He says, how can I, you know, do something bad to the Jews? Hashem isn't ready to do that to them. So the same here is a person who essentially articulates an idea that something bad should happen to Hashem. And because the Pasuk at the end again mentions, Be'nakvo shem yumas, that it has to be done with the shame, with a name of Hashem. So it's understood that it has to be that the object of this curse, I'll call it, is Hashem, and specifically either the shame Yudke Vavke, you know, or as it's pronounced, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, according to Rambam, either of those two have to be the recipient of the curse. And the person, the source of the curse, has to also be Hashem, although there, essentially, any of the indelible names the Rambam learns that he lists out there could be invoked. So it could be, you know, Hashem, a person could invoke either Elohim or Kel, as well as Shem Hashem, Ekyesh or Ekya, and the like. So there are different names. So it has to be that you invoke one of the names of Hashem and you request that it should, like, do something bad to Hashem. Rachman Islam, God forbid. So that is the crime. So let me speak that off for a second. If a person would say something just half of that, meaning a person would just say, like, you know, we're going to use the word blessed of curse, okay? That's the custom in the Mishnah and the Gemara to use a euphemism to say blessed when one means curse, because one doesn't want to say this. So if one would say, like, Hashem should be blessed, so that's nothing. Because you have to be that the source of the blessing is also Hashem, okay? Similarly, if one would invoke like a term that isn't one of Hashem's names, like if a person would say, like, the merciful one should bless Hashem, again, we'd be over a lav here and subject to Malkus, but no Misa. Misa requires invoking one of those seven names of Hashem to do something bad, curse, smite, whatever it is, the shame Hashem. Okay, now the Mishnah is also going to dance around the same issue of not wanting to say these words explicitly, and therefore it'll use an expression of Yosi. Yosi in place of the Shem Hashem. The word Yosi is chosen because for two reasons. First of all, it's four letters long, like Yudke Vavke is four letters long. And second of all, the Gematria of Yosi is 86, which is the same as the Gematria of Elohim, so it seems like a close fitting idea. So that's what the Mishnah is going to talk about over here. Now, the first part of the Mishnah is going to discuss the requirements, the technical requirements for one to be liable to be a Megadef. And then the second part of the Mishnah will discuss a different problem, which is in the court. If we're not going to be prepared to say what was said explicitly, so how in the world are we going to go about carrying out this court case? How are we going to convict the Megadef for what he did if no one's prepared to say it? So how do we go about doing that? So the first part of the Mishnah says, HaMegadef Eino Chayev Ad Shiyefaresh Es Hashem. The person who curses Hashem isn't liable to skila until he explicitly mentions the Shem Hashem. Meaning, if you heard someone else talking about Hashem, I don't know, someone else heard Hashem say, someone else heard another fellow say, you know, Hashem should destroy that idol. And if he would respond saying, yeah, and Hashem also, or something like that, so then since he didn't speak out the curse in full, he wouldn't be liable. He has to speak out the full curse as I described before. Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, b'chol yom dan es ha'edim b'kinui. Now, returning to the topic of how the court case itself runs, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, b'chol yom, throughout the trial, as we're discussing whether or not, you know, considering the guilt of the accused blasphemer, dan es ha'edim b'kinui, when we have our trial, we discuss things what happened with the witnesses, they use a substitute name. Kinui often refers to some specific descriptors of Hashem, like Chanun and Rachum, like the merciful one and the gracious one. But anyways, here it just means any substitute name. And in fact, we're going to use the kinui of Yake Yosi Es Yosi. For example, we say Yake, which means to smite, to hit, like Makot. Yosi, that's the kinui that's being used instead of the Shem Hashem. Es Yosi, the first Yosi being the source of the cursing, which could be either Hashem or could be other any of the other seven names. Es Yosi, the recipient, the object of the curse, has to be Hashem or Adnos. Fine. Now, that's how we run the case, so we know one has to speak out the curse explicitly, but obviously, I don't know, obviously, but at the end, we cannot actually convict unless the court hears with its own ears exactly what was said. First of all, that could just be necessary because, like maybe all the guy actually said was Yaka Yosi Es Yosi. I didn't mention Shem Hashem at all, for all we know. Okay, so it has to be explicit. Testimony has to be clear. And second of all, essentially, what goes on in a court, as far as I understand it, the depth of it is that the witnesses recreate the event, so to speak, vicariously in front of the judges who sort of experience and see it for themselves. So we need to have this event recreated through explicit testimony. So, Nigmar Hadin, when we're ready to convict now, Lo Hargim Bekinui. We can't execute just based on the testimony, which included some substitute words. We need to hear the actual thing that was said. Ella, so therefore, what do we do? Motzien Kol Adam Lechutz. We take everyone out of the courtroom. Everyone leaves the Bezin with the exception of the witnesses, the Edim, and the Dayanim, the judges. They are the ones who stick around, only them. Vesholem Es HaGadol Shebehen. We ask the senior aide, the senior witness, to tell us exactly what was said. V'omrim Lo. We say to him, Emor mashamata beferish. Now say what you heard explicitly, like a human tape recorder. Say exactly the words that were said. V'hu omer, and then he says exactly the curse. And therefore, v'dayanim omden aroglehem. In response to hearing that curse of Hashem, the judges who hear it have to stand up. V'korin, and they tear kriya, as if someone had died, you know, and because of the extreme chil Hashem here. They tear their clothes as if they had lost like a relative or something. Below Ma'achin, this is a rip, a tear, a rent in the clothing, which cannot be repaired. Okay? The word ma'achin, like the word achva, like shalom achva, reus, the achva means like togetherness, and ma'achin here, bring it together, means that you can't repair the tear in such a way that it can't be detected anymore. Meaning, this is like same halachas where goes on one tears kriya on his parents. So it's not saying that you can't join the two halves of the jacket together again. If this guy has only one jacket, he can repair the jacket by putting it back together. But it has to be in a way, like not done by a seamstress, not done by a pro tailor. It has to be done in a way that it's forever more evident that this is a jacket that was rent. And now maybe it's been put back together physically, but the tear is still evident. It can't be like made to disappear. That's what Loma Achim means. Now, obviously, that's only one of the witnesses. What are the other witnesses? Vahasheni, the second witness, Omer, he says, Af ani kamo. He says, yeah, I heard just what he heard. So he doesn't actually say it a second time, but he does confirm that's the exact thing that he heard. Vahashlishi, if there is a third witness, hypothetically, then he would also say, Omer, Af ani kamo. He would also say the same thing. I heard the same thing. Okay, and that would be for however many witnesses there are. If you'll ask, how could that first witness say explicitly what he heard? He's saying a curse of Hashem. The answer is, yeah, but he doesn't mean it. Of course, and the point of one being a blasphemer is he's expressing his, you know, disdain towards Hashem, and that's not what's happening here, so that's permitted. If you'll ask, what about the witnesses? Do they need to tear kriya also? So, interesting, the Tosafot Yom Tov is based on the Gemara, that they don't because they already tore kriya once before and they heard the original curse way back then. Which means, of course, when one hears the curse, if one should hear a curse like that, he is obligated to rend his clothing, and not just the bezdin, but anybody who hears such a curse.